Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is, believe it or not, our 31st time diving into sources around Good Things Guy.
That's right. And the sources consistently describe it as, well, South Africa's leading good news site.
Reaching millions, apparently, both here and overseas, and publishing something like over 100 articles every single week. That's a lot of good news.
It really is. So today, our mission is sort of twofold. First, let's dig into how Good Things Guy actually started.
Okay.
And then we'll look at some of the specific stories from your sources that have really resonated with readers just this past week.
Sounds good. Let's unpack it. Where do we begin with the origin?
Well, you have to go back to 2014.
Yeah.
Before the website, before the podcast, it was just an idea sparked by one person, Brent Lindeck.
Right. And wasn't it tied to that viral trend in nominations?
Exactly. That drinking game that was, you know, getting quite negative and a bit dangerous, frankly.
Yeah, remember that.
So Brent gets nominated, but instead of doing the drinking gear, he completely flips it.
How?
He drives to an intersection in Johannesburg, finds someone homeless, and gives them a simple R20 meal.
Instead of the drink.
Instead of the drink.
Wait.
And crucially, he filmed it. Then he challenged others not to drink, but to do a similar act of kindness.
Wow. That's a powerful switch.
It really was. And that one act, that kind of counter-programming to a negative trend, it just ignited the whole random acts of kindness or RAK initiative.
The sources say it went viral.
Viral is almost an understatement. Millions of views globally.
Yeah.
People weren't just watching. They were doing it.
Yeah.
It sparked like countless copycat acts of kindness all over the world.
And it led to actual tangible things, not just online feel goods.
That's the incredible part. It wasn't just fleeting. The sources point out it led to real feeding schemes being set up in places like Canada, the USA, Ireland.
Seriously?
Yeah, based on this RAK idea. And apparently, those schemes are still running today. Think about that ripple effect from one R20 meal.
That's amazing. And the media noticed too, didn't they?
Oh, big time. Carte Blanche, ENCA, 5FM here, but also CNN, BBC, Mashable, Oprah Magazine. Mm. Ellen DeGeneres even picked it up.
So Good Things Guy essentially grew out of that initial spark.
Precisely. It became the platform to keep sharing those kinds of stories, to focus on the positive, on hope.
And it's kept growing. The sources mentioned the podcast evolving into a vidcast in 2025.
Yeah, adapting and expanding its reach. But the core message, I think, is how one small creative act can leverage existing dynamics, even negative ones, and just blossom into a global movement and a dedicated platform for good.
A fantastic origin story really sets the scene. So let's shift now to what's catching readers' eyes this week, according to your sources.
Okay. Well, one story that really stands out is about saffron growing in the Karoo.
Hang on, saffron, like the super expensive spice.
That's the one, red gold.
In the Karoo.
Yeah.
Which is known for being incredibly dry, right?
Yeah.
Especially after that long drought.
Exactly. That's what makes it remarkable. This guy, Benny Engelbrecht, and his company, Saffricon, they started back in 2013, are successfully cultivating it there.
How is that even possible environmentally?
It turns out saffron crocus is surprisingly water-wise. The sources say it only needs about 250, 300 millimeters of rain a year.
Which is much less than.
Way less than things like maize or wheat, which need more like double that. So the dry conditions, paradoxically, kind of suit it.
Wow. And the economics must be tempting.
Hugely. Especially for smaller farmers. You apparently only need about a quarter of a hectare to get started.
And the return.
Potentially up to R250,000 per kilogram retail. That's life-changing potential in an area hit hard by drought and economic struggle.
And Saffricon helps people get started.
Yeah, they have this outgrower program. They give emerging and rural farmers the corms, the bulbs for free, plus training, mentorship.
And they buy back the harvest.
Exactly. They guarantee to buy back the saffron threads and any new corms the plants produce. It lowers the barrier to entry significantly.
Plus, the crop itself is tough.
Seems so. Frost and hail resistant. And practically speaking, the sources mention the value is underground in the corm, making it less easy to steal than, say, fruit on tree.
So this is really about resilience, isn't it? Finding agricultural and economic hope in a really challenging place.
Absolutely. Innovation born from necessity.
Okay, from agricultural innovation to community action. Tell me about this meal packing event in Boxburg. The numbers sound huge.
They really are. You have the Humanity Foundation joining forces with Rise Against Hunger.
And they aim to pack a lot of meals.
Their goal was 26,000 pre-prepared meals. But they actually smashed it. They packed 27,648.
Wow. How many people did that take?
The sources say it was a big team effort. 97 community volunteers pitched in.
Just regular people giving their time?
Yep, alongside learners and even some of the people who benefit from the feeding project. Real community collaboration.
And where do these meals go?
To support the less fortunate, obviously, but also specifically initiatives like Rise Against Hunger's ECD Connect program.
Which focuses on early childhood development.
Right, getting vital nutrition to young kids. And they're not stopping there. They're hoping to do another drive, maybe in Benoni, and get more companies involved.
It just shows the sheer power of organized volunteers, doesn't it? Making a massive direct impact on hunger.
Definitely. Logistics and goodwill combined.
Okay, one more story. This one involves animals rescued circus lions.
Ah, yes. Goliath and Coralie. Bit of a sad backstory there. They apparently spent years stuck in a small circus cage over in France.
Grim. But things are looking up.
Dramatically. They're on their way, or perhaps just arrived, to a new life. A huge 455-acre sanctuary right here in South Africa.
That's fantastic. Who organized the rescue?
It was a joint effort. An initial investigation by the Free Life Association, and then the complex rescue itself was handled by Animal Defenders International ADI.
And getting lions halfway across the world isn't simple.
No kidding. The sources mentioned an airline actually donated the flight, which is a massive help.
Right.
Shows different groups coming together.
And the sanctuary they're going to.
The ADI Wildlife Sanctuary. It's already home to over 30 other big cats rescued from similar situations, circuses, bad zoos, that kind of thing, giving them a proper near natural life.
And this fits into a bigger picture too, right? With France banning wild animals and circuses soon.
Exactly. By 2028, it's law there. So this rescue is part of that broader shift in how we view animal welfare and entertainment.
It really highlights what dedicated organizations can achieve, giving these animals a genuine second chance. Quite moving.
Definitely. So if we sort of zoom out and look at these threads.
Yeah, what's the common theme running through the Good Things Guy stories we've looked at?
Well, we started with that single R20 act, a small gesture, creatively shared, that sparked a global kindness movement, and ultimately this whole platform.
Then we saw innovation in the Kari Saffron finding a foothold against the odds, offering real economic hope where things looked bleak.
Followed by that incredible community power in Boxburg. People coming together to tackle hunger head on.
And finally, the dedication and collaboration needed to rescue Goliath and Coralie, giving them freedom after years of confinement.
Each story, highlighted by Good Things Guy, really shows the potential for positive change, whether it's individual creativity, community action, or organizational perseverance.
It's a solid reminder, I think, that good things genuinely are happening out there every day, even if they don't always make the main headlines.
Yeah. So for you listening, what's the takeaway? Maybe it's just realizing that small actions, especially if you share them in the right way, can have ripples you don't expect.
Or perhaps it's about looking at challenges differently, seeing drought not just as a disaster, but maybe as a prompt for finding new, unexpected solutions like saffron.
Exactly. It's that theme of turning a negative into a positive, isn't it? Flipping the drinking game, finding value in arid land, rescuing animals from poor conditions.
Maybe the final thought then is this. How could you look for or even create those kinds of positive transformations in the seemingly unlikely or difficult places within your own world? Where's the hidden potential for good?